It's Thursday, October 2nd. I'm Jane Costin, and this is What a Day, the show saying goodbye to the great Jane Goodall, who passed away Wednesday at the age of 91. The legendary conservationist expanded our knowledge and understanding of chimpanzees and of ourselves, too. As a Jane, I can say that there are not a lot of famous Janes. I mean, let's be real. There are like two good songs about Janes, and there's one very bad album about a Jane. Jane Goodall was not my namesake, but I have always taken a lot of inspiration from a woman committed to learning about and understanding our world better. So from one Jane to another, thank you. On today's show, in a confusing turn of events, federal officials say they plan to reopen an Obama-era immigration program. And Israel tries to intercept yet another flotilla attempting to carry humanitarian aid to Gaza. But let's start with the government shutdown as we start day two. Though I'd like to note that despite the government closing shop, House Republicans have been on vacation since last week, while House Democrats have been showing up to work. Here's Massachusetts Democratic Representative Catherine Clark speaking on Wednesday.
I've had one question from my Republican House colleagues this week. Where the heck are you? Where the heck are you? You've cut people's health care. You're giving their hard-earned tax dollars to billionaires in the form of tax breaks. And then you don't even show up to defend your own policies, your own bills.
But Vice President J.D. Vance told members of the press Wednesday that the real bad guys in the shutdown fight are Democrats, specifically Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. Because according to Vance, it's Schumer standing in the way of low-income Americans getting much-needed health care assistance. Assistance which Republicans cut a bunch of in President Donald Trump's stupid One Big Beautiful Bill.
Air traffic controllers need to make sure that people are flying safely and on time. We need low-income people to be able to access the food services that are provided by the federal government. There are critical things that need to be saved. We're going to do everything that we can over the coming weeks, if the shutdown lasts that long, to ensure that people get the essential services that they need, despite the fact that Chuck Schumer has shut down the federal government.
Sure. Both Democrats and Republicans have dug in their heels on this shutdown. Democrats want Affordable Care Act subsidies extended and Medicaid cuts reversed. And Republicans are fine with the government being closed and want to fire thousands of federal employees. So to talk more about the shutdown, its impact on everyday Americans, and what comes next, I spoke to New Jersey Democratic Senator Andy Kim. Senator Kim, welcome to What a Day.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So the government shut down at 12:01 Eastern time on Wednesday morning. And what we're hearing from Senate Majority Leader John Thune and congressional Republicans all week is that Democrats did this. Democrats are shutting down the government to pay for the health care of, quote, illegal immigrants. What's your response to that?
Well, look, they're just lying to the American people because it's already against federal law to have undocumented immigrants getting health care through federal dollars. You know, that is not something that's allowed right now. So what they're saying just isn't even possible. Speaker Johnson is just blatantly lying to the American people, being deceptive about this. And, you know, why? Because he doesn't have really anything to stand on here when he knows that so many Americans are facing a health care crisis right now.
Vice President J.D. Vance is also calling this Chuck Schumer's shutdown from the podium of the White House press briefing room, which is kind of funny because there'd been a lot of talk among Republicans about how Chuck Schumer is just going to lie down and this wouldn't even happen in the first place. But is this Chuck Schumer's fault?
No, I mean, this is clearly the Republicans' fault, Trump's fault. I mean, they have the White House, they have the majorities in the Senate and the House of Representatives. And so they are the ones that are in charge, and they have let this happen. They've refused to engage in any negotiations. You know, Speaker Johnson gave House Republicans a vacation. They're getting paid right now. Even they didn't even bother to show up. Like, how am I supposed to negotiate when not only do I not have them in the same room as me, but they're just not even in the same building or even the same town? It's clearly their fault.
In March, the Senate passed a spending bill just hours before the deadline. You also opposed that bill. But at the time, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, whom we've been talking about, said it would be much more dangerous to close the government because it would give the president free rein to run the government however he wants, only reopening the departments he wants, letting Elon Musk run even more rampant. This time, the Trump administration has said that they might fire, not furlough, federal workers in areas of the government that aren't, quote, consistent with the president's priorities. And the president even came out on Tuesday saying basically, like, we want to fire Democrats, which is bad. Why was that a gamble you and your fellow Democrats were willing to take?
Yeah, I mean, look, what Trump's trying to do with, in terms of firing Democrats, I mean, that's not just bad, it's illegal. I mean, and look, Trump will do that regardless of whether we're in the shutdown or not. You know, when you have Russell Vogt as director of the OMB, I mean, I really do believe that Russell Vogt and Stephen Miller are the two most dangerous people in this administration. They so clearly have an agenda that they're pushing to be able to reorient and take our democracy away from the Constitution. So yes, we need to make a stand, and we need to say, you know, that this is not how our country should be working, that this is not the way we should be operating, and that this governance that we're seeing is so clearly broken. Otherwise, I think the Republicans will just continue to believe that they can just have their way, and I think we need to be able to step against them.
Why is the shutdown necessary to make that stand?
Well, look, it's not necessary, but it was necessary because of what the Trump administration did in terms of just how intransigent they are and how determined they are to subvert our Constitution. You know, I would have hoped that we could find off-ramps to this in terms of being able to provide support for people's health care. But when you see, for instance, Speaker Johnson say, oh, he's acting in good faith here. No, he's not. Speaker Johnson, Leader Thune, they're basically just cabinet members in Trump's White House and his administration now. They're not actually leaders of a separate and equal branch of government that is running its own checks and balances. And that's the dangers that we're in right now, is we do not have three functioning, credible branches of government in this country right now.
Shutdowns are typically something that Republicans do. I remember back in Trump's first term, or even going back to 2013. So you were talking about needing to take a stand, needing to make a stand. Is this the Democrats' version of kind of fighting fire with fire? And is this the kind of politics you think Democrats need to be using more broadly? Like, we can't treat this as a normal situation.
Well, it's definitely not a normal situation. I mean, we're in a constitutional crisis. You know, as I told you, we don't have three functioning branches of government. We have one branch of government that's trying to consume the other two branches and be able to have them do whatever he wants them to do. That is something we should all be furious about. What's important, though, is that this is not just some political tug of war. You know, I don't want this to be seen as just, you know, two parties just trying to duke it out and trying to line up for the midterm elections and to be able to galvanize base. No, that would be absolutely disastrous. This is about responding to people's concerns, their worries, their fears, their anxieties. It always has to go back to the people that just feel like government's not even thinking about them. You know, the fact that the President of the United States and all members of Congress continue to get their paycheck. You know, as our troops and our civil servants aren't getting paid right now, that the American people see that. They're like, these people, they're just completely out of touch. And that they're playing with other people's chips. And that's what causes the deep distrust in our government and reinforces that. And that's what's causing space and oxygen for the erosion of trust that is undermining our democracy.
You actually announced on Tuesday that you are rejecting your paycheck as long as the government is closed. Why was that important for you to do?
You know, look, I was a public servant. I was a GSKL government employee. I worked my way up from the photocopy room at the State Department. Like, I was a young kid that wanted to serve my country. And I remember what it was like I went through two shutdowns. And I remember it was hard. I had to show up to work. I wasn't getting paid. I didn't know whether or not I'd be able to make rent. I didn't have any savings at the time. It was really hard. And, you know, I got sworn in. You might remember, actually, it was under Trump in his first term that we had the longest shutdown in American history. I came into Congress during that time. And that's when I learned that the president and members of Congress are the only people in the government that get paid during a shutdown. And I was so angry. So I immediately was just like, I refuse. I cannot do this because It's wrong. It is the opposite of leadership. It is something that is offensive to think about how we're asking people to do something that we ourselves are not willing to do, which is show up to work, even if we're not getting paid. And like I said, even the House Republicans, they don't even bother to show up to work, and they're still getting paid today. Like, that is offensive. So I wanted to show, you know, the federal workers in my state and around this country, I stand with them. And in the same way that I stood with them when Musk and everybody else was trying to fire them and call them criminals, call them deep state, this is probably the year public servants have been most denigrated and most attacked, at least certainly in my lifetime. And they need to see that there are some of us that stand with them.
As someone who lived in D.C. for a long time, I appreciate, one, a good GS reference. And two, I remember how hard it was for folks who I knew who were federal employees during those shutdowns, because it'd be like the first couple of days, people would be like, okay, you know, it's fine. There are bar specials. And then it stops being fun because you're basically employed, but without the benefits of being employed. It's a really ridiculous situation.
Yeah. And then, and like, I just remember like sitting there at work and, you know, you would just see the back and forth and it just, it all seemed so performative. And it really felt like that the negotiations, they were happening without real sincere consideration of what other Americans are going through. And that's why I said it's so important that we show people and convey that we're fighting for them.
As you mentioned, the longest shutdown in history was just a few years ago in 2018, when Democrats and Republicans were at odds over funding Trump's border wall. That shutdown lasted for 34 days. And in the end, the party forcing the shutdown didn't get what they wanted. So how long do you think Democrats are willing to go, and where is the line?
So many Americans, they're getting their news today and in the coming days about the increases of healthcare costs that they're going to have to deal with. Open enrollment starts on November 1st, which is why we need to do this now. You know, this is not something where we can kick the can down the road, like where the Republicans want to do this between Thanksgiving and Christmas or whatnot. That's not going to work. People are making up their minds right now, this month, in terms of it. So we're pushing through, and we really want to make sure that we can deliver for people, get them the relief. And look, I've talked to Republicans in the Senate, like a number of them feel somewhat similarly. They're hearing from their constituents. And I think that this shutdown is shining an even brighter light on this. So I cannot tell you for certain, you know, exactly when or how this is going to develop and unfold. That is the uncertainty that comes with a shutdown. But what I do know is that a lot of Americans are going to be in a lot more pain and a lot more difficult circumstance unless we change our trajectory as a country right now and provide the support. And I think that they will see that here when it comes to this shutdown.
Senator Kim, thank you so much for joining me. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
That was my conversation with New Jersey Democratic Senator Andy Kim. We'll get to more of the news in a moment, but if you like the show, make sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, watch us on YouTube, and share with your friends. More to come after some ads. What a Day is brought to you by AG1. AG1 is the drinkable multivitamin with gut health support. And now they're introducing AG1 Next Gen, three new flavors with all the benefits of the original AG1. The new flavors include tropical, berry, and citrus. And of course, you can still get AG1 Original with the subtle sweetness of pineapple and vanilla. One scoop of AG1 contains your multivitamin, pre- and probiotics, superfoods, and antioxidants into one delicious daily habit. It's the easiest thing you can add to your daily routine to support.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Switching between tools for one project gets disjointed, especially on tight deadlines. Grammarly built a game-changing writing surface tailor-made for professionals to help you move ideas forward and sharpen your writing. You can brainstorm ideas, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or strengthen a proposal without context switching. Easy to get started and even easier to finish. Sign up for Grammarly free and get your professional writing from draft to done. Visit Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.
Whole body health, backed by 4 clinical trials. AG1 Next Gen is clinically shown to support gut health and fill common nutrient gaps. I take AG1 every single morning. It makes me feel like I'm getting a jump start on my nutrition for the day. And I've noticed a real difference in how my gut feels, which is great news for my entire body. Make your daily health drink more flavorful. Give the new AG1 flavors a try today. Head to drinkag1.com/wad to get a free welcome kit, including a bottle of vitamin D and free AG1 travel packs when you first subscribe. That's ag1.com/wad to get started. Here's what else we're following today.
Headlines.
That's fucking scary. We're just surrounded by boats here.
Activists on board a flotilla sailing toward Gaza to deliver aid to Palestinians said the Israeli Navy began intercepting their vessels on Wednesday night in international waters north of Egypt. Members of the flotilla, made up of about 50 boats and 500 people, told the Associated Press that Israeli warships aggressively approached the boats overnight, circling them and jamming communications, including the live cameras on board. Multiple ships were stopped, and some of the activists on board were detained. Crooked Media's Matt Berg spoke to David Adler, one of the people on board the flotilla, and asked him if the activists had heard directly from Israel.
Their claim is that we were entering into a war zone that we need to turn around, which of course is, a totally fictitious, rogue imposition by the state of Israel that they somehow control the international waters.
According to maritime law, states don't have the right to seize ships in international waters unless they're engaged in armed conflict. Israel's government has accused some of the flotilla members of being linked to Hamas, but has provided little evidence to support that claim. Here's Adler again.
We're undeterred in terms of the mission that we came to do, which is to set up a permanent humanitarian corridor at sea to reach people of Gaza, where Israel has frustrated humanitarian attempts to provide aid at land.
Eventually, the Israeli military left. If undisturbed, the flotilla will reach the shores of Gaza by today. But those on board expect Israeli authorities to continue to do everything in their power to stop that from happening. The Supreme Court hit pause on one of Trump's latest power grabs, ruling that he can't just fire Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook while her case works its way through the courts. Trump had pushed to remove Cook before last month's Fed meeting, but a judge said, sorry, that's illegal, and a divided appeals court rejected the administration's emergency appeal. Here is White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt reacting to the news at Wednesday's press conference.
Look, we have respect for the Supreme Court, but they're going to hear the actual case and make a determination on the legal argument in January. And we look forward to that because we maintain that she was fired well within the president's legal authority to do so. She was removed from the board, and we look forward to that case being fully played out at the Supreme Court.
We have respect for the Supreme Court. Sure you do. Cook, the first black woman to serve on the Fed's board, has become a target for Trump as he seeks more control over independent regulators. He claimed a Justice Department inquiry alleging Cook committed mortgage fraud justified her removal. But Democrats blasted it as a brazen power grab to bend monetary policy to his will. And the DOJ has also yet to provide proof of said mortgage fraud. For now, she stays put, meaning the Fed remains insulated from Trump's ire until the justices decide whether presidents can purge regulators they just don't like. Payroll provider ADP's monthly employment data was released Wednesday and showed that private sector employers cut 32,000 jobs in September. But the Wall Street Journal reports that economists had been expecting to see an increase of 45,000 jobs. So, yikes. Job loss is a signal the U.S. economy is actively slowing, but I definitely didn't need ADP numbers to figure that out. ADP chief economist Neela Richardson said in a statement the data, quote, further validates what we've been seeing in the labor market. Here's Richardson on CNBC Wednesday.
This is a statistical process. It's really important. But what I want the viewers to understand is that the narrative remains the same. There has been a slowdown in the hiring momentum from the beginning of the year to where we are now.
The ADP's numbers don't capture what's happening at government agencies, but because of the government shutdown, the Bureau of Labor Statistics said Wednesday its services had been suspended. That means, unless Democrats and Republicans randomly decide to get along, we most likely won't be seeing the government's monthly jobs report that was slated to come out Friday. The federal government is planning to reopen deferred action for childhood arrivals applications for the first time in 4 years, in every state except Texas. A quick refresher. DACA is a program that gives immigrants who were brought to the U.S. as children protection from deportation and permits to stay and work in the country legally. It was originally created in 2012 during then-President Barack Obama's first term, when recipients were commonly known as Dreamers. The Justice Department released the plans in a proposal this week. Applicants will have to prove they arrived in the U.S. before age 16, graduated from high school, and have no criminal record. In Texas, however, those who already have DACA status will still be protected against deportation, but they won't be eligible for work permits anymore and will, quote, not be considered lawfully present in the U.S. Some advocates are urging Texas recipients to leave the state and file a change of address before that happens so they don't lose their work permits. But obviously, that's easier said than done for people who have families and jobs and, you know, lives in the places they live. The proposal is currently pending final approval by a U.S. District Court judge in Texas. But according to the LA Times, that hasn't stopped misinformation and confusion about the process from circulating on social media. And that's the news. Before we go, Inside 2025, a subscriber exclusive, has a new episode out where Tommy Vietor and Dan Pfeiffer chat about the intersection of sports and politics. They talk through what the 2024 campaign taught us about how politicians interact with athletes, how both Democrats and Republicans use sports to connect with voters, and relive some of the most cringeworthy moments politicians have had in the sporting world. Dan and Tommy even share a few throwback stories from their time in the White House. To listen to the full conversation and continue supporting our work, subscribe to our Substack, YouTube, Apple, or visit crooked.com/friends to learn more. That's all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, celebrate Chunk, the comeback king and winner of this year's Fat Bear Week, and tell your friends to listen. And if you're into reading, and not just about how Chunk, a brown bear weighing in at more than 1,200 pounds, managed to overcome a broken jaw to be the fattest bear at Katmai National Park and Preserve in Alaska, like me, What A Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Jane Costin, and to quote Mike Fitz, founder of Fat Bear Week, Chunk certainly was resilient in his efforts to get fat this year. Iconic behavior. What A Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Desmond Taylor. Our associate producers are Emily Foer and Chris Allport. Our video editor is Joseph Dutra. Our video producer is Johanna Case. We had production help today from Greg Walters, Matt Berg, Gina Pollack, and Caitlin Plummer. Our senior producer is Erica Morrison, and our senior vice president of news and politics is Adrian Hill. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Switching between tools for one project gets disjointed, especially on tight deadlines. Grammarly built a game-changing writing surface tailor-made for professionals to help you move ideas forward and sharpen your writing. You can brainstorm ideas, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or strengthen a proposal without context switching. Easy to get started and even easier to finish. Sign up for Grammarly free and get your professional writing from draft to done. Visit Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.
If more fiber and protein fit your New Year health goals, get better macros with Hero Bread. They have sliced bread, tortillas, bagels, and more with protein and high fiber. And there's 0 to 5 grams of net carbs and 0 grams of sugar. Hit your goals with easy swaps for your favorite bready dishes with 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code HERO26 at checkout. That's 10% off with code HERO26 at HERO.co. All figures per serving of Hero Bread contains up to 18 grams of fat per serving. Not a low-calorie food. See nutrition facts on hero.co. If getting more fiber and protein fits your health goals for the new year, get better macros in your go-to dishes with Hero Bread. It also helps you reduce net carbs, sugar, and calories. From a quick 19-gram protein breakfast bagel to a Taco Tuesday or Burger Night spread for the family, all your favorite recipes are covered. They have sliced bread, tortillas, bagels, and more with protein and high fiber. And there's 0 to 5 grams of net carbs and 0 grams of sugar. They even do small batch drops of indulgent favorites, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero Croissant and 1-gram net carb Hero Buttermilk Biscuit, perfect for the health-conscious eaters who love good food. To help hit your goals with easy swaps for your favorite bready dishes, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code HERO26 at checkout. That's 10% off with code HERO26 at HERO.co. All figures per serving of Hero Bread contains up to 18 grams of fat per serving. Not a low-calorie food. See nutrition facts on hero.co.